God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 17th day of September, 2006, and you are listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. Our message tonight is brought to us by our guest speaker, Brother Rick Brand, from the third chapter of John. And his message tonight? Exhort, exalt, magnify, and serve the Lord. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world, listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
I'll tell you what, y'all are workers, man. This is great. I've been kind of watching to see what y'all are doing, and everybody's just involved in everything, and that's a really great testimony of the church. And I thought I'd preach tonight on the sin of attending the movie theater. I can't wait to get home because I'm going to talk. First, let me thank you for sharing your pastor and wife. They come down to our place every year, and they are a blessing. That's probably the best attended meeting we have each year. Of course, Brenda sings a lot, so that really helps it. But everybody loves Brother John's preaching and so forth. But I'm going to get to go home and say, you know, I've seen a Texas screen in a church. I mean, that guy in Houston probably doesn't have that, you know. He doesn't have the Bible either. But anyhow, and meeting in a movie theater, and that's cool because, you know, you just hang around right after the, you know, watch whatever. And then the song leader hugs on the piano players, right, you know, for everybody. I've got some kind of preaching material going on, I'll guarantee. And so that's kind of handy. Well, if I get started, you'll get out of here. So we will. If you look in the Gospel of John, please, chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. We all recognize that once we're saved, that our mandate is to exhort, exalt, and magnify and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater privilege upon the face of this earth than to do that. And you know the story here, how Nicodemus came to Christ at night and Christ had given him so much valuable information. I want to focus on one verse for just a little bit. And we'll talk about some things and then we'll go home and watch Dallas get beat. That's encouraging, isn't it? Yeah, but anyhow. It's like, who cares? At the rapture, nobody really cares. Verse 14, John chapter 3. Anybody there? I'm just kind of checking out here. I hope that light is added here because of, you know, I keep thinking as guys get older, we lose our hair. So maybe y'all that have it, you're way behind. John chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, if you look back in Numbers chapter 21, obviously, this was what Christ was speaking to in Nicodemus. Nicodemus had to know the story well, being that he was a Pharisee. I want to talk to you a little bit, and I don't think I'm taking any scripture out of context, but I want to talk about lifting up Christ, magnifying the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's pertinent for you and I in every situation that we encounter. And let me tell you this, there's times it's difficult. You ever notice that? Life has its problems. You ever been upset, discouraged, worried, drawn out, anybody else won? That's pretty good for this guy. Down there in Texas, we get discouraged quite often. We just got through August, you know, like 187 degrees. Anyhow, if you look down in Numbers chapter 21, verse number 4 says, "And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." God gave them direction. They didn't like God's direction, so they became somewhat discouraged. It's interesting, though, that God responds, as he always does. Amen. Look at verse number 5. "And the people spake against God and against Moses." And that's a clue. When you're out of source with God, you begin to complain. Amen. Okay. I think I'm at my home church. "People spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread. Now, these have got to be Baptists. They're thinking about food. Neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread. Time out. God brought them water where no one could get water. God gave them food where no one could get food. God sustained them every day. Their complaint was, listen, Moses, you and God are concert here messing us up. We're not getting enough food and we're not getting enough water. And the food that we're given from God, we don't like it. I can understand how they're discouraged. But that's still a sin. They had taken what God gave them and they weren't thankful for what God gave them. You know, sometime we have to go through some valleys in this life. And we just have to accept those things that God gives us and magnify the blessed name of Christ. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. And I don't know about you, but there's a few things that scare me in this life. One of them is snakes. I was out dove hunting here a couple weeks ago, and it's like, oh, I hope I don't shoot a dove, because if I do, I got to walk over and pick it up, and there's snakes out in this place. One time, we were living out in the country near Abilene. I was pastoring there, and I walked out the house one Sunday morning to go to church, and we had a dog, and we had raked up some stuff, and dog kept barking at this little pile of stuff right outside the door, and you know, I'm pretty smart. Anyhow, I brushed aside some stuff, a rattlesnake. So I killed the snake, you know, sent it to wherever snakes go when they die. And I thought, you know, this is a dangerous thing. So after that, I said, honey, if you go out to the car, I'll be out in just a minute. So after that, I let her go out the house first. You know what I mean? I'm telling you, snakes just bother me. Now, I don't know about you, but here's like 2.5 million Israelites. You know, they weren't the spiritual giants, but now you think about it. God gave them pretty clear direction. Now, they knew God. God had delivered them from 400 and some years of bondage. God had brought them safely through the Red Sea. They had seen the hand of God, seen the power of God, the authority of God, the wisdom of God, the sustenance of God, the grace of God. They had seen all the attributes of God, and now they complain because God wanted them to do something they didn't want to do. And so they began to complain against Moses and against God, and God sent snakes among 2 million or 2.5 million people. Now, I would think that it got the message. I'm complaining, I'm wrong. Here's the snakes. If I get this right, maybe the snakes will go away. But they just kind of, lulled there in their inactivity and backsliddenness. And the Bible says, and the snakes bit the people, and much of the people died. Now think about that for a minute. Here were parents that were so stubborn in the Lord's work that they would allow their children to die of snake bite. I can almost see the tears rolling down the cheeks of a dear mama as her baby began to writhe in pain and choke for breath and then die. The people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. You know what I found out? And I think you've experienced this too. It's real easy for you and I to get right on the big ones. You know, like if we don't tithe, trying to, you know, y'all have a building program here. If we, like in our area, if you drive down 183, that'll test your faith. If you can make it without thinking real bad, but I mean, you know, the big things, the murder, robbery, and, you know, hitting somebody, getting, you know, fighting those. We know those. But you know where we have trouble? We have trouble recognizing and confessing those little sins in our lives. Those sins like maybe not praying when we should. Those sins of maybe getting angry with a brother and sister. Those things of not being satisfied with the things of God. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God has to do a number on my heart sometimes. To number one, make me thankful for where I'm at. Number two, to repent of those sins that just so easily beset us. And somehow these people finally came to their wit and said, Moses, we've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord, he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And I'm glad Moses responded like that. And There's a lot of theology here that we don't have time to give you. And if I did, you'd be real bored time I was done. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Now, you know, God could have done a lot of things. God could have said, okay, Moses, I understand. You've repented. Snakes, go away. He didn't do that. Moses, I want you to take a pole and put a brazen or bronze serpent on the top of that. Now, where in the world did Moses get a bronze serpent? Probably wasn't any Walmart there. I have an idea. It was supplied by God. And we know bronze brass stands for judgment. And I can imagine now, Moses gets this pole and he puts this brass serpent on the top of it. And he's walking around the camp of Israel saying, hey guys, God said if you'll look, you'll live. Could you imagine the discussion in the tents that day? Hey, Moses is out of his gourd. Moses has gone crazy. You know what he said? He said, listen, if we go out there and witness, people will come to Christ. How foolish a thought that is. If we give the missions, God's going to bless. If we honor God, he's going to honor us. Moses said, he's walking around here with a pole in his hand. If you look, you're going to live. And I can imagine, I don't know who the first one was, but when someone walked out there, bitten by the snake, and by faith looked, they lived. Do you know why? Because God's word's always true, isn't it? God's word is absolute. Now think about it for a minute. What would have happened to the people if Moses hadn't obeyed God? What would have happened if Moses said, you know what, Lord, I think I'll do this another way? What happens when you and I don't obey God? What happens when we become overcome in our own circumstances and our own self-pities to other people? Well, look back in John, if you would please. Just a minute. John chapter 12. What time y'all quit? Oh, I couldn't stand here myself reach the 9. And my wife's out there. She sure couldn't handle it. John 12, verse 32. Christ said, and we know this, we recognize this to be a statement of the cross. But, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now think about that for a minute. We know that God lifted up Christ on the cross, but I'm talking about, in the practical sense, you and I lifting up Christ. You and I lifting up that pole and that serpent. You know, I imagine Moses was tired. I imagine he was beat up a little bit. And you remember Moses was complained about by the people. Anybody ever talk about you behind your back? Didn't you just want to say, well, praise the Lord? I mean, these people moaned and groaned about Moses, but Moses still did what God said to do. Now look in Acts chapter 16 for a minute. I want to give you 5 things that the Bible tells us that if we'll lift up Christ, even in the worst of times, God's going to give us. Acts chapter 16. You already know where we're going. Acts chapter 16. 5 points, 10 minutes. Do you believe that? You don't know me well, so. But I can do it. Acts chapter 16. Now remember, Paul and Silas in the city of Philippi, and they were simply witnessing Christ. They were telling folks about Jesus Christ and infuriated the society because people began to lose some money. In that particular city, they made these little ornaments that you put on the dashboard of the chariots and those kind of things. And they would sell those. They were little gods, Saint somebody, you know. And so when people got converted, they quit buying those things. And so it disrupted the economy of Philippi. And so they took them before the magistrates. And the Bible said that, and when they had laid many stripes upon them. Now, what was their crime? witnessing Christ. Now, we could just kind of transliterate that. Here was their crime. They were lifting up Christ. They were magnifying and glorifying and witnessing His blessed and holy and wonderful name. That's all they were doing, is being obedient to Christ. And the Bible said they were taken before the magistrates and they laid many stripes on. Now, that doesn't mean they got promoted. They were beat severely. And they cast them into prison. Now, you ever have seen that prison in Philippi? Well, I've seen his pictures of it, but it was like a dungeon. It was a cave. And I can imagine in that dungeon, in that cave, in the back part of that cave, in this damp, dark part of the city of Philippi, Paul and Silas were incarcerated there. They were chained, and we know by history that their arms were stretched out and their legs stretched out, and they were in excruciating pain. Now understand, first thing happened, they were beaten many times with a whip, and now their body is emaciated, and they are in deep and severe pain. And they're in that dark. I can almost imagine the rats that are crawling across their bodies. And the only crime that they had committed was they were lifting up the name of Christ. They were witnessing the name of Christ. And I want you to notice verse number 24. "I received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now you know, and I'm sure Brother John's explained, in the Roman culture, if you are a jailer and one of the prisoners escape, you have to serve their sentence. And so the Roman jailer was generally the most powerful, the strongest, the meanest dude in the whole city. And Paul is, he's not a physical giant. Here's a guy that's somewhere around 4'11" tall, never got invited to the basketball game. And he walked over humpbacked and he couldn't see. Matter of fact, he's kind of like me. And he physically could probably do no harm to anyone. But yet he was held in such dangerous state that he had to be incarcerated and chained so he wouldn't escape. Now, I want you to see a few things here. Five things God wants us to see. Lifting up Christ, even in the tribulation or distresses of this life. Number one is we can have peace with God. Now notice verse number 25. "And at midnight," that's the darkest hour of night, "Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Now I don't know about you, but number one, no one ever asked me to sing. I've got standing orders from our music director, please don't go near the choir. I was singing in the shower the other day and the water stopped. But I'm thinking if I were here, knowing me, if I were singing, I'd sing like something like, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." And you would too. Can you imagine the faith, integrity, and desire of these two men to pray and sing praises unto God? It doesn't take us much to miss stuff. I'm sure it's here like it is at home. We'll have 440, 450 on Sunday morning and have 210 Sunday night. I'm thinking, what's the deal? We'll have people miss for soccer tournaments. And Paul and Silas are in this emaciated state and broken and stretched, and they're praising God. Brother John told you we have a son. We have four sons, actually. Paying for my early sins. Love every one of them, and they're big guys now. They're all grown physically. I got one shrimp. He's 5'10". Others are 6'2", 6'3", 6'5". And my shrimp is in Iraq. In fact, he called us a while ago, and Kirk Cook got their 25 people killed there. He wanted to let us know he was okay. We're thankful to the Lord for that. And our baby is 32 years old. He's a little guy. He's 6'2", 6'3", and weighs more than I do. But he was a youth minister for a number of years. Did a great job. And one day we were at a fellowship meeting in San Angelo, and he was putting his tie on. He lost all feeling in his left leg. And he went to the emergency room. The doctor's like, you know, we don't know. I think he got MS. No, anyhow, through a long series of things, as things began to get worse, he saw more and more and more doctors. And more doctors said, we don't know. He will stand sometime. In fact, the other day he was bending over. We thought he was picking up something. He just fell over, passed out. He'll be sitting, and all of a sudden he'll lock up. In other words, he can't move. He can't talk. He can't open his eyes. He can't move a muscle. He can't do anything. He just lays there, sits there. And it'll last anywhere from, 10 minutes to several hours. There's many days he's not able to walk. And today, this morning, he had a new symptom where he'd lost all feeling in his legs. And when his wife ran a sharp instrument across his feet, he didn't even feel it. And the doctors continue to try to determine what it is, but things get worse. The other day he was sitting there, and one hand went like that, and then the other hand, and his whole body went like that. And the doctor said, it's myocardial disease, but those aren't symptomatic of that. And it's really been a stressful situation, obviously. And he has two children, a boy and a girl. And recently he had to resign his church. He's physically unable to be a youth minister anymore. And they moved in with us. And obviously moving in with your parents at that age is traumatic enough, but not being able to work and serve God. And there's days he's not even able to go to church. And he tells me it just drives him crazy, that part of it. And folks have asked him, do you ever question God? Well, you can't ever question God. God's still sovereign. And his wife was telling us here not so long ago, and him and her were talking about this disease they have, or he has, and we're hoping sometime some doctor really said, hey, this is it, and let's get some help. We don't know, but she said that they began to talk, and he said, with everything we've learned through what I have, if I had my choice to be healthy or go through this, he said, I've learned enough that I would say, I want to go through this. And I thought, what a testimony. I don't want to go through that. I would rather go through that than him. I don't want to see him go through that. And we have our times. My wife cries more often than I do, and I have my times where... And here is a young man with a testimony that says, I can't do anything anymore, but I'm still okay with God. And I said, that's one of my heroes. I'm still okay with God. I still want to serve him. He's home in bed right now. You know where he'd like to be? More than anywhere else in the world. Right here in God's house. Paul, Silas, how do you have that peace of God? How does that peace of God permeate your entire life? You lift him up. In the worst of times, you lift him up. So the first thing we see is peace, and then we see his presence. For suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundation of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's bands were loosed. Now, I'd love to have seen that. I put a lot of people in jail down through the years. Number one, I never heard them sing praises unto God. Number two, I never saw the ground shake where the jails were opened up and they stayed. But you know what? Even when they were beaten, when they were humiliated, when they were cursed, when they were incarcerated, chained, and beaten again, God was there. That's hard to understand. In fact, you think our own children, I don't want them to go through anything like that. But I have no power to change that. My God does. But he is sovereign and he is powerful and his will is going to be done. And though he could change it, there was a reason that he allowed it. And God never left their presence. I'm reminded, as you know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how that they went into the fire and Nebuchadnezzar had the door thrown open. He said, guys, how many did we throw in here? They said three. He said, I see four, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God. That God doesn't always deliver us from trials, but he's always there with us. He never forsakes us, even for a minute. And then the power of God, suddenly. Can you imagine, as Paul and Silas were singing, and the ground began to shake, and the chains came off, and the doors opened. I don't think it shocked them a lot. I think that they knew the awesome power and authority of God. And if God was going to let them die there, so be it. But they knew they were right with God, and they were lifting up God, and they were glorifying God, and they're magnifying his blessed and holy name, and whatever was going to happen was going to happen. It had to be God's will, and God shook that place. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, God needs to shake our place. God needs to shake us up. We ought to be excited, dynamic about the things of Almighty God. God, shake us. And it's a miracle because nobody left. Isn't that something? The Bible said the keeper of the prison awakened out of a sleep. I can imagine this guy, he's sleeping over here. He doesn't want any prisoners to escape. All of a sudden, his bed begins to shake. He looks out, all the doors are open, and he's going to commit suicide. Why? Because he doesn't want to serve the prison terms of all of these men. He drew out a sword, would have killed himself, supposing a prisoner had fled. But Paul, of all of the people in jail, I suppose Paul was probably the weakest physically. But all of a sudden, out of the darkened part of the dungeon came a voice. Stop! Do thyself no harm. For we are all here. Boy, it had to be something. Then he called for light and he sprang in. Now remember, this guy is probably the biggest, strongest, toughest dude in the whole city. Paul's 4'11", can't hardly see. He's bent over because of a back ailment. And here's this jailer falling on his face before Paul, trembling. That's God. That's the power of God. And I like this. If we see the purpose. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to what? Be saved. Now, Mr. Jailer had not been to Baptist Bible College. Or even Heartland. He had not been to theological training. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, how in the world could this jailer have heard that terminology? I've got an idea that God wasn't letting him sleep. That I imagine that little room he could hear Paul and Silas. Oh, God, thank you for saving us. We're here for your purpose. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. One of my favorite songs is Thank You, Lord. Number one, there's very few words so I can memorize it. But it has such meaning, doesn't it? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord. I'm thinking if Rick was there, being, oh, Lord, I'm in a lot of trouble here. Get me out. But you know, everything God allows and does is for a purpose. James even says, brethren, count it a joy when you fall into divers temptations. You ever been down the highway and had a flat tire and jump out and say, yay, Lord! Praise the Lord! I'll be honest with you, I haven't. Except once. I was pastor in New Mexico and I went up to Farmington and driving back through Navajo country, and I had my associate with me and I had a flat tire. Had a blowout. And I had my suit on and he had old clothes on. He wanted to be comfortable. Guess who changed the tire? And a big old sheep came out, and this thing stunk to heaven. Who do you think got back in the truck, turned the air conditioning on, and watched the youth guy change the tire? Praise the Lord. He's no longer in the ministry. Sometimes it's to straighten us up. And we need that, don't we? Sometimes it's to promote us. Here's the key. Sometimes we go through stuff just for other people. Now, you know what happened. Mr. Jailer got saved. And I can just imagine now, Mr. Jailer goes home. And he's going to see Mrs. Jailer and little jailers. And I kind of like to use my imagination. Y'all have one of those. I've seen Who You Married. And I can imagine him coming through the door. And he has these two little guys with him. He probably has his arm around them. Mrs. Jailer has never seen anything like this in her whole life. I imagine she did a couple double takes and said, "What in the world happened to you?" "Jesus, I met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I met my Savior today, honey. And you know what? You ought to meet him too. You know what happened? These two little guys were in prison, in jail. You know how hard it is there. Do you know what they did? They sang praises unto Jesus. And the ground shook and out they came. Nobody escaped. And I listened to them all night, honey. And they prayed and sang praises to the holy name of the Son of God. And when that happened, I want you to know, I couldn't wait. I got on my knees trembling and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to have what you have?' Wouldn't it be good if everybody could see us in our everyday life and say, 'Wow, I wish I could have what they have. I wish I could have that same Christ. And honey, I want you to know I repented of my sins and trusted him, and I'm a new man and everything's going good.'" I can imagine Mrs. Jailer getting on her knees and saying, "Wow, I want that too. Let's call little jailer and little jailer out here. Mom, what happened to Dad? All I've got to tell you, he met the Son of Almighty God. He embraced the cross of Calvary. Two men who were Jews and met Christ, lifted up his glorious name. Now, children, you can have him too. We can have what Mr. Paul and Mr. Silas have. And I want you to know, beloved, you and I can have it too. And we can have the Savior, and we can have the thrill, and we can have the dynamic, and we have the joy of lifting up his blessed name. And when we lift up his name, even in the midst of problems, we see his peace, experience his presence, and his power, and his purpose, and finally his praise. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight to share your word with these dear folks. Be part of this meeting. God, we would like to have that spirit of Paul and Silas. God, it's our joy, our privilege, our honor to lift up thy blessed name. Let us, Father, examine ourselves, speak to our hearts, and magnify thy blessed name in this invitation. We thank you, Father, for the blessed Savior, your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our guest speaker, Brother Rick Brand. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and give us the chance to get to know you. God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.